Consider it a privilege to open the service in this way. Invite your attention to Hebrews chapter 12. Jesus said that as we partake, we are to do it in remembrance of Him. So there was a phrase that stood out in Hebrews chapter 12 that reminded me of that, and it's looking unto Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, I'd like to read first 17 verses. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Looking unto Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews here stresses the importance of endurance. And he says, he likens it to a runner who says, let's lay aside weight and sin. Runners who train often use weights. But when it comes time for the race itself, you lay aside those things. That's just for preparation. That's not for the actual race. So the Hebrew writer is saying, let's lay aside those weights. And then he differentiates that between sin. I think weights are good things in this life that can weigh us down, but are not necessarily sin in separating us from the Lord. But he says both, and so we are called to lay that aside so that we can run better with endurance, as it says, the race that's set before us. And then we're to do that by looking unto Jesus. So we look to Jesus because he went the way before us. And because of joy, he was willing to go through a lot in order to receive the glory. What is that joy? I'm not sure we know. Was it the pain and the suffering? Or was it the glory beyond? The union with his Father again? I tend to think of it, especially in this context, that it's probably looking forward to the time when he is reunited with his Father. Because for us, there is something about having a goal, a prize at the end that says, you know what, I'm willing to go through this now because I know what's up ahead. And so I see that in light of how he brings chastening out, the discipline that that God does for us. We are willing, we choose the path of suffering. And that's something that Jesus did. We choose the path of suffering not because it's some great experience. In fact, the writer here says, Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. We don't choose suffering because it's just a joyride. We choose it because of the end goal. And I believe that's how Jesus was able to go through the suffering and the death, was because he knew, for one, probably, I don't know, it's kind of hard to prioritize these things, but reunion with the Father. But the fact that redemption would be completed, the redemption of mankind. But we could take heart that while chastening is not joyous, but painful, look at Jesus in the garden. My wife recently pointed this out to me, that while we may go through things that are very agonizingly difficult, you hear very few people who are bleeding or are sweating drops of blood. But that's what Jesus did. And that means that a body is so in anguish, and doctors have confirmed that when a body is in extreme anguish, you can't actually sweat blood. So anytime we compare the painful things, the difficult things we go through, we look unto Jesus and we say, he understands. I haven't gone through anything as difficult as he did, because I'm not sweating drops of blood. So how should we view chastening? And what is chastening? I'm not saying, I don't claim to be an authority on this at all. But I wonder if chastening isn't often circumstances that we find ourselves in. Not necessarily things that we bring upon ourselves, but things that happen. And part of this I view through at least somewhat understanding the book of Job, where it seems that God allowed Satan to bring things into Job's life. Now, do we view that as, did God bring it? Did he allow it? We could have a long discussion about that, but that's not the point here. This morning, I think, as things come into our lives, and things will, we know that. We've experienced it already. How do we respond to those things? And I believe maybe it isn't the thing itself and saying, is this chastening or not? But it's how I respond to it determines whether I'm a son or an illegitimate child. So if I receive it and say, Lord, I want to learn whatever you have through this difficulty, I believe then we are understanding the sonship. But if we resist it and we say, nope, this isn't for me, I can't believe that God would allow this, I think then we're responding like what it says here, illegitimate children. Because Jesus, while in the garden, we know he wrestled with a different path. He said, not my will, but thine be done. And so he said, I am willing to embrace the suffering, everything that goes with this death, because I want to do your will. And I think in a lot of ways that determines, are we sons or are we not? Are we daughters or are we not? I choose to do your will above mine. Because when it's my will versus God's, then I view anything that comes into my life as a distraction from that and saying, nope, I resist that. But if I can embrace suffering and pain, then I am choosing to follow God and His will. I'm not talking about a martyr's complex here. I think this is a choice we make in saying, I choose to believe that God is good in the midst of this difficult circumstance. And I think it's the attitude of, I don't want to waste what God is wanting to do in my heart through this experience. Moving on, in verse 12 then, because of looking to Jesus, we can lift up our hands, the hands that are hanging down. We can help others because this is not a sob story, but recognize that Jesus was victorious and we look unto Him and we can reach out to others and say, we'll be there for you. We'll help you. We'll lift up your hands if you can't. I found it interesting how verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people. I think one of the things that's sometimes difficult in giving an expression of, I have peace with man, is because we know that there's times when it seems like there's a broken relationship. And so I think this brings good perspective to that. Pursue peace, recognizing that maybe it won't always feel like it's peace. But something that has helped me is, have I done what I need to for there to be a peaceful relationship? If I have done my part, there is, anytime that we agree, there's two parties. And so sometimes we have to recognize that the other party isn't willing. But if we have done what we can, and there's nothing that they can say that, no, he has gone above and beyond what he needs to do. And so I just encourage you, if you have struggled with that, remember, pursue peace and do your part. As I think of communion and receiving the emblems in remembrance of our Lord, I had to think of what it says here. Let's not fall short of the grace of God. Dwight talked about taking it for granted. This is just another way of saying that. But are there ways that I have failed or I have fallen short of the grace of God in appropriating that into my life? And what a good time to remember it as we partake. And one of the many reasons to stay current with God, don't let a root of bitterness spring up. I find this one to be more difficult. To dig out the root of bitterness. And how subtly and how quickly it seems that it can come back. But just like a tree that we take down, we know that it's much easier to take something down when it's small than as it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. To get out a root of a tree this size is much different than a little sapling. So stay current. Be, appreciated what Karen had to say about be still and know that I am God. I think in being still, God often shows these roots of bitterness. But if I'm busy, I go about my life, I may not hear the voice of God. I may not hear Him saying, you know what? There's some bitterness here. It's time to repent. conclusion, I'd like to read this passage now in the Message. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. In this all-out match against sin, others have suffered far worse than you, to say nothing of what Jesus went through, all that bloodshed. So don't feel sorry for yourselves, or have you forgotten how good parents treat children, and that God regards you as his children? My dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline, but don't be crushed by it either. It's the child he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects. God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. He's treating you as dear children. This trouble you're in isn't punishment. It's training, the normal experience of children. Only irresponsible parents leave children to fend for themselves. Would you prefer an irresponsible God? We respect our own parents for training and not spoiling us. So why not embrace God's training so we can truly live? While we were children, our parents did what seemed best to them, but God is doing what is best for us, training us to live God's holy best. At the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. Later, of course, it pays off handsomely, for it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God. So don't sit around on your hands, nor dragging your feet. Clear the path for long-distance runners so no one will trip and fall, so no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. Help each other out and run for it. Work at getting along with each other and with God. Otherwise, you'll never get so much as a glimpse of God. Make sure no one gets left out of God's generosity. Keep a sharp eye out for weeds of bitter discontent. A thistle or two gone to seed can ruin a whole garden in no time. Watch out for the Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. You well know how Esau later regretted that impulsive act and wanted God's blessing. But by then, it was too late, tears or no tears. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you grateful for the example of Jesus, who went the way before us. And the Hebrew writer reminds us to look unto Jesus. Father, I don't know what everyone is going through today, but I pray for those who feel like they're in chastening times, that you would remind them of your love, of their sonship, their daughtership, and that you would help us, Lord, today to again set our minds to complete the race well. We're in it for the long haul, Lord, and we need you. We need to look to Jesus. So I just pray your further blessing on this service. Bless Oren in the message. Bless Dwight's scripture reading. And I pray that our hearts would be turned towards you, and that we could respond in gratitude and in surrender for your great sacrifice for us. Pray this through Christ. Amen.